Turn, please, to the book of 2 Kings, the third chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 424. And beginning with verse 16, we'll read responsively through verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 20, page 424. As is our custom here, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." And together also on verse 20. "And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water." And let's pray.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, a loving God needs a lovable people. A loving God needs a lovable people. Our heavenly Father, I'm sure that Brother Colston announced the scripture a while ago and you began to read it. Some of you said to your husbands or wives, "I've seen this one." Because the sermon that I'm going to preach this morning is the one I was preparing when I got detoured on the one that I preached last Sunday morning. And I got hung up on that one little scripture. It's no big deal with God, or it's but a light thing with the Lord. And so I come this morning to the sermon that I was planning to preach last Sunday morning before I decided to preach the one that caused me not to preach this on last Sunday morning and made me have to preach it this morning instead of last Sunday morning, because last Sunday morning I preached the sermon I had not intended to preach last Sunday morning. That was a wonderful statement. You just don't recognize brilliance when you see it and hear it, folks. But anyway, the story is the same one. The Lord was going to deliver his people from the mighty enemy. He was going to do it through sending water to them and making that water, with a certain hue of the sun shining on it, look like blood. To frighten the enemy, or make the enemy think that the Israelites had killed each other. They came in to get the loot. Look at me now, right this way. We don't take notes. We just look right this way and listen to the sermon. So the Lord said, "I'm going to send water." Now, there are those who think that that water came from seepage beneath. There are those who think it came from the rain. I personally think it came from the rain, but that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is God said, "I want the water that I'm going to send to be retained." And he said that water cannot be retained unless you make some ditches. So God said, "Dig some ditches," or pits, if you please. And he said, "So that when the water comes, that water may have a place to find lodging, so the water can be retained, so I can deliver you." Now, I want to take that as a little figure of speech, a little story as a type. God's power is flowing all the time. But the reason you don't have the power of God is because you haven't made any reservoirs to take the power of God when it comes. Our lives are so filled, we've not dug any ditches so God's power can be retained. There's no way God can fill you if you're already full of something else. There's no way God's power can fill you if you're full of self. There's no way God's power can fill you if you're full of pleasure. There's no way God's power can fill you if you're full of carnality. So before you're filled, you must be emptied. And God simply said, "I've got some water I want to give you, but you're going to have to dig some ditches so you can retain that water." God's strength is flowing all the time. It's available to you, and if you don't have the strength of God's, because you haven't dug any ditches, so God's strength can be retained. God's wisdom is flowing all the time. But the reason we do not have the wisdom of God is because we do not dig the ditches so we can retain the wisdom as it flows. But I want to call your attention this morning one little facet. Little facet, nothing. One giant facet of this teaching, and that is the love of God. God's love is always flowing. Somebody said, "Oh, I just don't feel the love of God." Then dig some ditches. Make some containers where the love can stay. And you can realize God is always loving you. God is always pouring power upon you, but you won't have that power if you dig some ditches. God is always pouring wisdom upon you, but you won't have His wisdom until you dig some ditches. God is always pouring His strength upon you, but you won't have that strength until you dig some ditches. And for our message this morning, God is always pouring His love upon you. But the reason you don't feel loved or feel the love of God or feel warm in your soul is you've not prepared yourself by making room in your life for the ability to contain the love of God. Years ago, 20-some-odd years ago, I guess 23 years ago maybe, you know that I fell in love with Reese Peanut Butter Cups. There has been a wonderful, in fact, I can hardly go through a sermon without eating several. And I'll, of course, as always, be stopping during the sermon this morning to refuel. And I at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College in Owatonna, Minnesota, I was preaching revival there. When I say Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, you don't say amen, fella. But you say amen only when I say Hiles Anderson College. And I was preaching revival there at this bleep bleep college, and I won't go into the story. You've heard it on the first and third Sunday for 18 years. But shut up. But anyway, I am Dr. Myron Cedar Holmes' little 5-year-old adopted daughter, Charlotte, gave me a Reese peanut butter cup. And I came back home and I told you about it the next Sunday. And of course, the tapes went all over the world. I have 2 tapes. They go, one goes around the world this way, one goes around the world that way. And people all over the world learned that Dr. Hiles likes Reese peanut butter cups. You know, for 23 years now, I've never been anywhere to preach without getting Reese peanut butter cups. Never anywhere. I was in Germany. Somebody sent some Reese punnet beater cups. Somebody sent some punnet beater cups over to Germany and had them waiting for me when I got there. I was in Japan. Somebody sent some Reese peanut butter cups in Japan. They're waiting for me when I got there. I was down in Puerto Rico. Somebody said they don't sell Reese peanut butter cups in Puerto Rico. Somebody sent some to you. Here they are. Every place I've been. I was at one church not long ago. In 2 days, I got 467 Reese peanut butter cups. Folks, I had to stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning to eat all those things. And 467. I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I was preaching there at Mechanicsburg, right outside Harrisburg. And Harrisburg is right next door to Hershey, and Hershey is where the Hershey Candy Company is, and Hershey Candy Company makes Reese peanut butter cups. They sent the public relations director out there to the services to have a special presentation to me for all the publicity I've given Reese peanut butter cups through these years. They brought me a Reese peanut butter cup cap. They brought me a Reese peanut butter cup T-shirt. They brought me a Reese peanut butter cup ballpoint pen. They brought me a Reese peanut butter cup keychain. But the crazy fools didn't bring me a Reese peanut butter cup. And you can't eat keychains, folks, and ballpoint pens. But I have been a walking advertisement of Reese peanut butter cups now for these many, many years. Now, what am I saying? I don't know, but it's a good illustration. And at least got your attention. But anyway, it's a tool with which people can say, "I love you." Boys and girls all over America, bring me Reese peanut butter cups. A little child can save his pennies to say, "I love you, Brother Hiles," with a Reese peanut butter cup as easily as a wealthy person can. Now, if I said, I like $500 suits of clothes, I'm afraid that I would not get one everywhere I went. But that little Reese peanut butter cup has been a tool whereby, actually, it's been a ditch that I have dug in my own heart so people can love me and express their love to me. That's what God is saying here. God is saying, "I have some things from heaven I want to give you. But you can't retain them until you prepare for them. I want to give you my power, but you have no ditches. I want to give you my wisdom, but you have no ditches. I want to give you my strength, but you have no containers. I want to give you my love, but you have no containers. What God is saying here, if you'll get lovable, I'm loving you all the time. Now, you'll know it if you get lovable, so you can retain the love that I give you. I was up in Rochester, New York, many years ago, and several years ago, I guess 10 or 15, and so a pastor came to get me for the morning service. We walked in his office. He opened the door, and there was a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup under his door. Some little child had heard one of my tapes and thought she'd give her preacher a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And the pastor said to me, he said, I tell my people I don't like those things. Well, I said, give it to me, dummy. I'll take it. I love them. But now here's the mistake he made. He filled up the ditch. Somebody was trying to say, I love you, pastor. But he filled up the ditch. He had no receptacle with which to receive the love of that person. And God says, I want you to make some ditches. I've got something I want to give you. By the way, you're not going to win the victory over the enemy any more than they did without those ditches. You're not going to win the victory over the enemy without a good supply of the love of God. You're not going to do it. But you say, oh, I just don't feel like God loves me. That's because you have nothing to attain the love of God. God is sending His love to you all the time. God is sending His power and His strength and His wisdom and His glory and His blessings all the time to you. And the thing for you to do is to be sure that you're lovable and have something with which to attain that love. I was being driven to an airport not long ago, and an assistant pastor drove me to the airport. And he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, I came to your pastor school many years ago, and I learned how to love at your pastor school. I do not know how many people I've said that. I learned how to love my people at your pastor school. Now, he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I wish my pastor would let me love him. I love my pastor. He said, I think my pastor is the greatest man on the face of the earth. But my pastor he's not the kind that you can love. He's not the kind that you can say, I love you too. And he said, I'm hungry to love that man, but that man will not let anybody get close to him. Now, that man's crazy. Look, some of you wives ought to dig some ditches and receive the love that your husband's trying to give you. Some of you husbands ought to dig some ditches and receive the love that your wife is trying to give you. I hear people oftentimes say, well, you know how we are. We're Northerners, and Northerners, Northerners can dig ditches as well as Southerners can. Well, we're in Canada, and Canadians don't express it very much and don't feel it much. That's not true. I've seen your hockey games on television, and you go wild and you go crazy. The truth is, what you ought to do is make some ditches so God's love can be retained. Make some ditches so your people's love can be retained. Make some ditches so your family's love can be retained. May I parenthesize for a moment and tell you something very personal these days? I know that for years, this preacher right here has had more true friends than probably any preacher in the entire world. I know that must be true. I know not only here, but around the world. Around the nation. I have an idea that if all the letters that I have received from God's servants in the last 2 months were stacked up here, they'd probably be that high on the platform. It's just unbelievable. Now, do you know what saved my neck? Do you know why I'm standing here preaching right now? Humanly speaking, do you know why I'm here? You know what saved my neck? Because I have dug ditches all these years, and I have let people love me. Let folks love you. Don't withdraw from folks that want to love you. Don't be hard and have no receptacle and nothing to hold the love that's coming towards you. Hey, Brother House, I'm not that type. Well, become that type. And God said, dig the ditches, and I'll send the water. Dig the ditches, and I'll send my power. Dig the ditches. My power's always flowing, but you can't retain it unless you prepare for it in my wisdom and my strength and my glory and my love. God longs to be loved. My travels these days are a bit different than normal. People around the country want so badly to show me that they love me. Now, I've always felt the love of God's people. And that's one reason why in pastor school, thousands of people come every year. They come here and feel like a family. They come here and they feel like they can come somewhere and be loved and love and around the country, for example. And I haven't done this before. I've always tried to love and be loved and accept love. But I go places to help people. And now when I go places, they want to help me. And it's a little different. I was out in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and my heart was so moved. The pastor there, who loves me dearly, he got the honor guard from the Air Force Academy, which is just a few miles from his church, and brought the honor guard out on Tuesday night. And they turned the lights out just before I was to preach and put a spotlight on the honor guard. Oh, those men, highly trained, came and they placed the flag in place and we stood and sang the national anthem. And then the Air Force Academy gave me a flag of the United States of America. And he said a little speech. He said, Dr. Hiles, and this was not a member of the church. This was a fellow that came out there from the Air Force Academy. He said, on behalf of a grateful country, a country that you've covered these many years, and you've done your best to try to keep our freedom, he said, we give you this flag in honor of your ministry all these years. Now, it's not, that's a little bit, it's a little different. I've not done that through the years. And I could have said, Pastor, don't do it. No. I had to dig a ditch. I was about to preach, and I can preach a lot better if I have a mind on what I'm going to say, without taking time to give me a flag. But the pastor had gotten together the other pastors, and they said, let's show Dr. Hiles we love him. And what if I'd have said, I want you to do it. No. I've got to dig the ditch. Why? Because people want, just like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, a little child wants to say, I love you. A little child, every Sunday comes by and sings, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. They're calling me Lord now. But anyway, don't tell Robert Sumner that. If you do, be sure and write him to the Southern Baptist headquarters instead of the Fundamental headquarters. But anyway, I'm simply saying, all across the country it's that way. I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And they had a pastor who got up and he was going to say a few words about me, and he read the book of Job, and he put my name everywhere Job's name was. There's a man in the land of Uz whose name was Jack, and so there'd be a book in the Bible named Jack. Be sure and tell Dr. Sumner about that also. But anyway, I'm saying that these people want to love me. And they know that I'm going through some deep waters, and they want to say to me, we love you, and it's my job to give them some avenues, and when they say I love you, to have some something that can receive that love. And God looks down this morning and says, I love you with an eternal, everlasting love. And he said, I'm loving you all the time. I want you to retain it and recognize it and receive it and appreciate it. The loving God, who is love, has a hunger for you to accept and receive the love that he offers to you. Somebody's trying to love you, make ditches and make room for it. That's what God is saying. He's loving you all the time. His blessings are falling all the time. Now, three things I want to say to you. In the first place, make room in your mind for the love of God. Make room in your mind for the love of God. You're missing one of the richest things in the Christian life if you don't stop every day for a good deal of time and revel in the fact that God loves you. All the statements that I've made in the 30 years I've pastored this church, the thing that I've said the most is, I don't know any better news than this. God loves you. I said, God loves you. God loves you, serviceman, homesick and away from home. God loves you, pathfinders, dear retarded, educable, slow. God loves you. God loves you, rescue mission men, with your lives sometimes wrecked and ruined and your life all mixed up. God loves you. God loves you, deaf people that hear because of dedicated hands. God loves you, blind people
that are led by someone who can see. God loves you bus kids that don't know who your daddy is. God loves you. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They're weak, but He is strong. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Creator of the universe, He loves me. And bless God, I'm going to take some time every day in my life to realize and be cognizant of the fact that Jehovah God loves me. Somebody walked up the other day and looked at me. Somebody that's not in the inner circle of our church and somebody that's never been expressive to me. Just sort of a fringe type of a member. They walked up the other day to me and they looked at me and tears began to roll down their cheeks. I'd never seen them cry before. And that man looked at me and said, "Brother Hiles, it just hit me that you love me. It just hit me that you love me." And I said, "You better know I love you." And he said, "Brother Hiles, I should have known it a long time ago. I just never took time to sit down and realize all that you do and all that you've done and all the labor of love." And he said, "All of a sudden I was alone the other day and I was thinking, and as I thought, I said, 'Dr. Jack Hiles loves me.'" And he said, "It hit me. You love me. Let it hit you. He loves you." Stop and think about it. Dwell on it. Rejoice in it. Revel in it. Bathe in it. Shout about it. God loves you. God says, "Prepare for my love. I'm loving you all the time." If you don't feel the love of God, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. The ditches aren't there. You cannot retain the love of God. Make room for it in your mind. Secondly, make room for it in your schedule. Give God time. Let me tell you a sweet little story that's very precious to me, and it's just very common kind of a story. It's not been my privilege to get to know my grandchildren very well. To some of my grandchildren, I'm just a picture in the sword of the Lord. Or the biblical inquirer. But to some of my grandchildren, they've not known me very much. The other day, one of our grandchildren, Teresa, what? She's 14, isn't she? Not here. It's a good thing I didn't say honey, but anyway. I'm sure that'll get to Bob Sumner. Teresa's a 14-year-old girl, but she's 5'6", and I've not known Teresa very well, but she came to visit us. Of course, our daughter's married to the Smith's son, Glenn and Abby Smith's son, and Teresa came to visit us, and so I thought I'll try to spend some time with her. So I called over. She's at Smith's. I called over, and I said, "I'd like to take Teresa out to eat lunch today." And Mrs. Smith said, "Well, to build the house," she said, "she already has plans." And to be quite frank with you, I thought, well, she's too busy for me. She's a 14-year-old girl, and she doesn't even want to go out to eat with an old 62-year-old codger. And so I just sort of said, well, at least I tried, and she's too busy for me. That was on Thursday, I think it was, on Friday night, Saturday night. The phone rang, I think it was Saturday night, and it was Teresa. My granddaughter. She said, "Papa," she said, "I'm sorry I couldn't eat with you the other day." She said, "I really want to eat with you or spend some time with you while I'm here." I said, "You do?" She said, "Yeah." Well, I said, "I think I'll do. I'll get up early, catch an early flight Wednesday morning, and you and I just spend much of Wednesday together." And I went out and got her Wednesday about noon. We spent all afternoon together, and I bought her a new dress. We went out to eat, took her out to college, and she toured the college. But wait a minute. She said, "I'd like to spend a night with Aunt Cindy and Uncle Jack if I could." And she initiated that and contacted her aunt and uncle to see if they would let her spend the night in their house. They didn't know her very well. Then she said, "I'd also like to spend the night with Uncle David and Aunt Brenda if I could." And she contacted them, and she had never been in their house. And she spent the night with him. And that girl, she said, I want to know my family. And, you know, I've got a heap of loving I can give. Except when you get my age, you wonder if anybody wants it. And especially a 14-year-old granddaughter. And you wouldn't think she'd want to spend a half a day with an old codger. And yet, the fact that she did, and we had a wonderful time. And she told somebody, Papaw's a good guy. Well, I've known that all along. I'm saying that God's that way. God does not push himself. God does not intrude. That story I often tell about Jesus and his resurrection body going up on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? They didn't know who he was. And then so they got to Emmaus, and their eyes were opened, and they knew it was Jesus. And they said, well, Jesus, come on in and have a meal with us. And he said, no, you said that many, many times. You don't have enough for me. Oh, yes, we do. Okay, then I'll come. And that's exactly the way Jesus was. Jesus didn't accept their invitation right away. They said, why don't you stay with us for a while and have a meal? He said, and the Son of God, I'm talking about the eternal deity, God's eternal Son. He said, no, that's all right. And they said, please stay. And he said, okay, I will. He liked turnip greens too. And he stayed. And God looks at you today and God says, I want you to want me. I want you to want to spend some time with me. I have eternal love I'm pouring out on you all the time, but you don't receive it. I'm simply saying, make room in your mind. Make ditches in your mind for God's love. Make ditches in your schedule for God's love. And then make room in your life and in your heart for the love of God. Young lady, let your husband love you. Teenager, let your parents love you. Member, let your pastor love you. Young preacher, let your people love you. Last Sunday night, as I walked out, hundreds and hundreds of people are out here in the alley. I think there were Hiles Anderson College family out here in the alley and others. And they were cheering me and throwing confetti on me. Don't throw confetti on me. It gets in my hair, and I don't have enough hair to where it keeps the confetti from leaking through to the scalp. And I use a lot of hairspray, and I can't comb my hair right quick like you can. It takes. I got to set it, so I may walk 2 days with confetti down there on my scalp. Now you can't get it out; you'll mess the hair up, or if you don't mess that one up, you mess the other one up. But they were out there, and they cheered and had a big sign, and then they came over and they had a beautiful song sung, appropriate song, and then they expressed their love. And he said, Brother Hiles, what are you saying? I'm saying they wouldn't have done that. I said, I don't want that. I'm a northerner. And I am. I was down south the other day, and it was hot as blue blazes, and I am a Yankee. Yeah. In the summertime only. Now, do you know why those people did that? Because they knew Brother Hiles had some ditches dug. They knew Brother Hiles could absorb their love. Last night, one of our staff members, fellows on the staff, was in. He walked out and looked at me, and before he walked out, tears came in his eyes. He put his arms around me and hugged me. And I pushed him back and said, that's for women. No, I didn't. I accepted it. I dug some ditches. These guards, this man right here, the Harbaugh, time and time again, like almost all the guards do, I'll go in the house at night and they'll be outside the house and they'll say, I love you, preacher. I love you. Now, why do they say that? Because they know Brother Hiles, forgive the expression, is lovable. I mean that I've got some ditches to retain that love with. That's why little children put nickels and dimes and quarters under my door and say, I love you, Brother Hiles! That's why they sing right in the corner where you are,
someone far from the harbor, you may guide across the bar. That's why they run across the sidewalk, the yard of the church or the sidewalk, and little children, 3 and 4 and 5 years old, will hug me and look up and say, "We love you, preacher." And I'll look down and say, "Good night. Your mom's got 3 children. We don't have any at home. Don't you believe in sharing?" "Yes, sir. Which one of you wants to come live with me?" Then they run away. But the reason is they want somebody to love them. And that's why the notes are under my door. I read every single note that's put under my door. And sometimes read it again and again and again and again. "Brother Hiles, we need you. And Brother Hiles, we pray for you. And Brother Hiles, we want you." And they'll say, "You're the greatest preacher in all the world." I know all of that's true, but I'd love to hear it anyhow. And but that's what God is saying. I feel so sorry for God. God looks down this morning and God says, "I love you." You don't even stop to think about it. "I love you." You don't even stop to be aware of it. "I love you. But you have no ditches dug. I want to give you my love, and I give it to you. And my love is falling. Showers of blessing are falling. My power is falling. My wisdom is falling. My strength is falling. My love is falling. But you don't know it." How foolish we are to sit there, recipients of eternal love, everlasting love, and not even stop to revel in the sunshine of God's wonderful love for us. I wish I could share with you. You know, may I say this? I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, and I know it. And I'm dead sure not the greatest Bible student in the world, and I know that. Did you ever stop and wonder why the Prince of Preachers, Dr. R.G. Lee, could preach like nobody I ever heard preach? Most brilliant man, mind I ever saw in my life, and the most amazing orator. Do you ever wonder why he didn't have as many people around the country that truly loved him as loved me? You don't walk up Dr. R.G. Lee, or didn't when he was alive, and say, "I've got a Reese peanut butter cup for you." It's like walking up to the Pope and saying, "Here's a Snicker." You don't do that. I didn't choose the right candy bar. A milk dud, yeah. You're faster than I am. I was trying to think of something cute to say and couldn't, and you beat me to it. But you know why? Because people across America, for these many long years I've been traveling, for the house is approachable. He's approachable. Did you know that across the country where I go, I also have pennies stuck under my motel room door? Did you know that where I go, little children will stick Reese peanut butter cups? And I opened the door the other day in the morning, and there was a Frosty out there. Well, it was a warmy by the morning, but it was a Frosty. Somebody put a Frosty outside the door. Do you know why? Because, and honestly, I'm busy, and I've got a lot to do. But all these years, I've taken time to let people love me. I enjoy it. But more than that, people need a way to say, "I love you." And people need for you to realize that that love means something. And that's why I'll sit in my office sometimes a half hour and do nothing but read the note that you put under my door and rejoice and cry and thank God and appreciate it. God wants you to dig some ditches this morning. Do you know that most of us in Christian circles never take time for God? There ought to be some time in everybody's life where he stops his visiting for a few minutes, stops his bus calling for a few minutes, stops his studying for a few minutes, stops his Sunday school class preparation for a few minutes, stops his sermon building for a few minutes, and just goes somewhere alone and looks up and says, "You love me, don't you?" Years ago in Fort Worth, Texas, I think it was Fort Worth, I'm almost sure it was. It was somewhere near Dallas, west of Dallas. Back in the days before the automobile, Young couple got married, and as they did in those days, they courted on, in buggies drawn by horses. We used to call them horses and buggies. And they courted that way. A young couple got married. They had a horse and a buggy, and they were going on their honeymoon. When all of a sudden, the horse became wild and began to run out of control and drag that buggy, and didn't have paved roads in those days, across the rocky, muddy roads. And all of a sudden, the lives of these people were in danger, and this young couple on their honeymoon were scared. And the young man crawled out where the horse was and got a hold of the horse and tried to stop him. And the horse began shaking and going faster, and the young man fell at the feet of the horse. And the horse stomped him to death. And when he was dying, the horse had stopped. And his little bride looked at him, and the last words he said were, "I loved you, didn't I? 2,000 years ago, my Savior went to Calvary and died for me and for you. And in dying, he said, 'I loved you, didn't I?' Take time to be loved. Stop and realize he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain." May I say this in closing? I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad you love me. And I've never appreciated as much as I appreciate it today. And I've never appreciated the love of God as much as I do now. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. He loves you. He loved you enough to give his life for you, to offer you eternal life by faith in himself. Dig the ditches. Go home this morning, young lady. Quit being cold and frigid and unresponsive. You've got a husband that wants to love you. Let him love you. Receive it. Dig some ditches so he can express it and feel that his love is being accepted. Go home this morning, father and mother. That teenager wants to love you. Oh, you can't tell it, but that you don't know how much they say in my office. I want my daddy and mama to tell me how they love me. Dig some ditches. Let that daughter, the teenage daughter, love you. Let that teenage son love you. Let that wife who hungers to love you, let her love you. Let the people, your friends, let them be expressive. Dig some ditches, but by all means, look up to God and say, "Dear God, I'm glad you love me. And I'm reveling and rejoicing and basking in the sunlight of that love." As I've said so many thousands of times in 30 years, I know no better news than this. God loves you. Our Heavenly Father.